to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 19th, 2020, by Eric Williams.
Of our lessons today deal with the subject of being called by God. Being called by God. When I was a kid, I thought that the only people who got a calling, the only people who God called, were those who were supposed to be ordained, who would stand up in front of the church and wear fancy robes. And I've since learned that that's not the case. I also was very naive when I was younger and when I responded and went to seminary. I really struggled with that call. Should I be a priest or not? And I thought when I was done with that, when I was finally ordained, that I never had to worry about my calling ever again. I had figured it out, and that was it, and I never had to be worried about what God was calling next. And I realized that's not the way it works. It's much more complicated, and it's an ongoing process of discovering what it is that we are called to do and to be. And it's not just for those who are ordained, but it is for everybody who follows Jesus. We are all in the process of figuring out our calling. This weekend, we celebrate Martin Luther King Day on tomorrow. And I read a charming story about Martin Luther King. His dad was a minister, and they were both not named Martin, they were named Michael. So his dad was Big Mike, and he was Little Mike. Don't often think of Martin Luther King being Little Mike. Later on, in honor of the great Protestant reformer, Martin Luther, they changed their name to Martin. And so it was, I guess, Big Martin and Little Martin. But anyway, Martin Luther King had been ordained about 1 year. He was 26 years old, and he was pastoring his first church and feeling pretty overwhelmed in the town of Montgomery, Alabama, when a woman named Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat and touched off the Montgomery bus boycott. Now, Martin, as the pastor of his church, was ambivalent, if you can believe this, ambivalent about this boycott. He worried about the impact that it would have on those who were trying to get to work. He thought, I'm not sure this is a great idea, but he offered his church basement to the organizers of a protest and sat in on the meeting. And during the meeting, because nobody wanted to be the leader of this protest because it would be like painting a big bullseye on your chest, they elected this young pastor, Martin Luther King, to be the head of this protest. And that night, they were going to have a big rally. And so he was supposed to give a big speech to this rally, and he had about 20 minutes to prepare what was going to be one of the most important speeches or sermons of his life. I think for Martin Luther King, there was really no difference between a speech and a sermon. Every speech became a sermon, and every sermon had some speech in there. So he normally, as a good Baptist preacher, he would prepare for his Sunday sermon. And I want to tell you, I don't do this. He would prepare about 15 hours for his Sunday sermon. That was his main work during the week, was preparing for that sermon. So for this most important sermon of his life, he had only 20 minutes to prepare. And he told friends that he spent the first 5 minutes having a panic attack. So he shows up, and there are over 5,000 people at this rally. And he gave what turned out to be a turning point sermon for him in his life. And in many ways, I think, found his calling leading that protest in Montgomery and finding a way to articulate a nonviolent, peaceful protest in the name of justice. Well, he had his calling kind of thrust upon him in that meeting in a church basement. Susan and I were watching a very charming movie this week called The Two Popes. I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's the story, or a story, about Pope Francis, the current pope, who has the unusual, almost unique in history, experience of being pope while his predecessor is still alive. So Pope Benedict is still alive, and they are opposites. Pope Benedict was a conservative in the church, Catholic Church, trying to maintain all of the traditions of the Catholic Church and fighting off any kind of modernization or change. Pope Francis is elected as the very opposite, as a reforming liberal pope who is trying to bring the Catholic Church more into the modern world. So you can imagine they have a complicated relationship, and the movie tells the story, and I'm not sure how much of it is literally factually true, but it's a really charming story about their relationship. And as part of it, they go back into Pope Francis's calling as a young man to become a priest. He was working in a science lab. He had a girlfriend. He was about to propose to her, but he was still struggling with this sense that he might be called to be a priest. And so one night, according to the movie, as he's going to propose to his girlfriend, he walks by an empty church and is led to go inside the church and to pray. And there he meets an old retired priest who just happens to be there. He's actually dying of leukemia, but has offered the priest of that parish that he'll come and hear confessions if anyone stops by. And so he hears Jorge Bergoglio, is actually Francis's real name. He hears his confession and talks to him, and Francis, or Jorge, pours out his heart and says, "I don't know if I'm called to be a priest or not. I've been looking for a sign." And the old priest, who talks about his vocation and his life of service and now coming to the end of his life, says, "Jorge, perhaps I am your sign." And Jorge leaves his girlfriend and joins the seminary and goes on to become a pope after a long, winding road. It seems to me that these stories, while none of us is likely to be the next Martin Luther King or the next pope, at least I hope not, I think these stories inform us that there are very many different ways of being called and very many pathways that our calling can take. The prophet Isaiah, who was steeped in his religion as a Jew, nonetheless saw that his calling from God was to be a prophet not only for the Jews, but also to be a light to the nations, in other words, to the Gentiles. That God's salvation, and Isaiah was one of the very first in the Bible to understand this, his calling was to make God's salvation known to the whole world, to everyone. This universal message of God's love and God's peace and God's justice and God's forgiveness. This was not just for one tribe, but was for everyone. St. Paul, likewise, as a faithful Jew, as a Pharisee, discovered his calling when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and said, "I too am called to be an apostle to the Gentiles." And in our gospel today, John the Baptist, his calling was to see and to identify Jesus, to be with his own followers and to see Jesus and to say, "Here is the Lamb of God." And then Andrew, his calling was to follow Jesus, to hear Jesus say to him, "Come and see," and to bring his brother Peter and to become the first two of Jesus' 12 apostles, the first two in a long line of Christians that would include eventually Martin Luther King and Pope Francis and you and me. No matter what our age, no matter what our background, no matter what our pathway, I believe God continues to speak to us, to say to you and me, "Come and see. Come, follow me." And our task is to discover what that calling looks like for us. Perhaps it's to be a priest or a bishop or a pope, but more likely it's to be, as the baptism family, I asked the parents and godparents yesterday, "What is your calling? You know, this little baby, CJ, is going to be baptized, and we're saying he's being called to follow Jesus. You know, what is your calling?" And they're like, we are still figuring that out. And I know people who are in their 90s who are still figuring out what it is that their calling is. I think it can change over time. It can take many twists and turns. But the great source of our deep satisfaction and joy, I think, is to discover that calling and to take steps to follow Jesus in the way that we are able, to bear witness to God's light and to reflect that light into the world. There is so much darkness in our world, but we, each of us in our own way, can be bearers of God's light, God's peace, and God's joy. Little mirrors that reflect the wonderful love and light of Christ. May that be our calling today and always.